Well, this is Mary Leidig, L-E-I-D-I-G-H. I was born in Manhattan, Kansas, in June 18, 1912. What else do you want?
That's good. You covered all of the... That's right, you got all three of those questions in there. Tell me where your family was before they were in Kansas, and then how did they come to be in Oklahoma?
My mother and father both graduated from Kansas State University, Manhattan. And after they married, they moved to College Station, Texas, where my father was an assistant in the Texas Experiment Station. And so the first, 18 years, something of my life, were spent basically in College Station. I was born in Manhattan in one of those good old hot days and moved to College Station. And then when Texas Tech was established in 1925, my father went as Dean of Agriculture at the university.
So you moved out to Lubbock.
So we moved out to Lubbock. And I went to school in Lubbock and to Texas Tech at the university and then to Austin, Texas in between there. I had a dietetic internship in Oklahoma City that was a year in those days.
Mm-hmm.
And then I did my master's degree at the University of Texas. And right after that, Ed Morrison, who was the incoming president at Panhandle State, hired me to be the head of home economics at PAMC. So that's how I got to Oklahoma.
Okay, so the name of that school had been Panhandle A&M College,
yes.
Is that right? Okay, mm-hmm. I didn't realize that. I wanted to back up to what you said about both of your parents receiving degrees from Kansas State. Does that mean that your mother must have been one of the, first women to graduate from there?
She was with the Extension, but she went to Columbia University. I don't know whether it was. I guess it was university.
Mm-hmm. In New York.
She did not do her master's thesis, but this was her post. Bachelor's degree. And Dad was working for the experiment station in Kansas. And there's some funny stories about that, but anyway, I won't go into that.
Well,
weekends they'd get together somewhere, you know.
Between New York and Kansas?
No, this is in Kansas.
Oh, okay.
At that time.
Once she was in Kansas, okay.
Yeah.
Well, how many siblings did you have?
I have one brother and one sister.
And did they also attend Texas Tech or another university?
They were at Texas Tech.
Okay.
Both of them. My sister in home economics and my brother in mechanical engineering.
I see. Well, it sounds like education must have been a very
education
strong
theme
in your home.
Very important part of the whole thing. My sister taught home economics then in Texas as a vocational home economist. And, of course, I taught at PAMC.
Well,
but it's real, real important.
So I would guess growing up that it never occurred to you that you wouldn't go to college at some point.
No.
That was just an assumption.
It didn't occur to me. In fact, I'm amazed at how we went to school in those days, because it was expensive.
Yes.
Even as it's expensive today. It was expensive because there was nothing provided in the way of scholarships and so forth. Although I did go to receive a scholarship to the University of Texas.
To do your graduate.
But that's after my, that was for the master's degree.
At that time, did they have any kind of a program at Texas Tech where they gave a fee waiver or a fee reduction to the children of teaching faculty?
As far as I know, they didn't.
They didn't, okay.
No, the biggest thing that happened was that the banks all accepted their monthly checks when there was really, really depression. And I'm sure they took off some there, but they did get paid.
Now, what year did you graduate from Texas Tech?
Texas Tech, 1934.
So you entered school after the stock market crash of 29.
Absolutely.
And were you
1930.
So were you the oldest in your family?
Yeah.
Yes, the oldest. That's amazing that your parents were able to do that.
Mother and Dad. So I said, I really do not know how they managed to send us to school. Of course, I did a little part-time stenography work. And I went to a business school in the summer to learn shorthand so I could do that.
Mm-hmm. So you were pretty enterprising.
Well,
you had to be,
it had to be.
Now, did you live at, I assume that you would have lived at home during your school
years. I lived at home. Both my brother and sister lived at home. And not too far from the campus in those days.
So that was pretty convenient then.
Well, and then they got me to Oklahoma City by car for the dietetic internship. I did come home the first Christmas by train from Oklahoma City to Amarillo to Lubbock, which was a pain in the neck.
But I bet it was.
It was cold and it was a long trip.
So did you do your internship in 1934 and 35? Is that right after you got out of school?
Right after I got out of school.
So was that in a hospital setting?
Yes.
You did that? And what hospital were you at?
Plano, Maine University Hospital.
Okay.
And Children's Hospital, we were there, and also St. Anthony's for, I think we must have been there for 6 weeks probably, to give a different kind of service that the university didn't have.
I see.
And of course, at that point, I can remember very distinctly my section or assignment was in the dietary. That isn't right. It was in the, never mind. Wherever you put out baby bottles and so forth.
Oh, okay. In the nursery.
And sealed up, supposedly tight, as far as wind was concerned.
Uh-huh.
And dust, but there was lots of dust that even at that
time.
Yeah, between 34 and 35, you could look out the window and it just barely could see across the street.
So you must have been in Oklahoma City in April of 1935 on the day that they call Black Sunday.
Yes.
Do you remember what that was like?
No, other than the fact that I was in the doing baby preparations,
mm-hmm.
bottle preparation. We had to be sure they were clean, of course, and sanitary.
Right.
And then filled according to whatever.
So in 1935, you left Oklahoma City and went to the University of Texas and got your master's degree.
Oh, University of Texas, yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And did
got that in 37.
37. So, did you have to finish up some of your classes from Goodwill, or did you?
No, I was already.
Did you go into that master's program thinking that you probably didn't want to be a practicing dietitian, that you would rather teach, or was it just
to further your
education?
This was just one of the things that came along, and it was a good opportunity. And this was a Saturday morning in September, first part of September, and I had an interview with Dr. Morrison about 10 o'clock in the morning. I took a catalog and some literature that he had, and I went to the beauty shop, which is what I was supposed to be doing that morning, read that, went home and talked to my parents and told him yes, I would go. And we moved me on the following that Sunday by car to Goodwill.
So what was Goodwill like when you arrived there?
Goodwill was out on the plain, and really I had very little time to figure out where Goodwill was. Because then on Monday morning I was enrolling students that I didn't know. Mm-hmm. Of course, they were new students, and there weren't all that many of students at that time. Part of it because of the Dust Bowl, and the parents did not have money.
Mm-hmm.
But as in those days, the NYA was the real...
What does that stand for?
National Youth Association.
Okay.
And a lot of them couldn't have gone to school at all if they hadn't had that. But they had that and also a job on campus.
So the NYA provided scholarship money?
Well, I don't know whether you'd call it scholarship, but provided money.
Okay.
For students. And I had this one gal, saw her husband yesterday out at Meridian. She is an incoming senior. That was her final year. And she helped me with the enrollment because I had no idea really what I was doing.
There you were, huh?
There I was. And I knew enough about college enrollments and that sort of thing. But I did not know the students and what they had had before and so forth. So it was an interesting day.
I bet it was.
Really interesting day. My mother told me later that she and Dad had stayed with the Morrisons Sunday night after they moved me into one of the dormitories. And she said, "Now, you walked into that room." I said, "Yes." I thought I was going right on out because it was not as big as even half of this room.
Oh, my.
And a bed and a closet and a lavatory in the corner. So it was adequate. Later, I moved into a different dorm, but it was good.
Did most of the students that attended school there live in the dormitory?
Most of them. They had to, most of them, because Goodwill was not that big a place.
Okay. Well, I just wondered if at any point it had been larger than it is today, because it's still not very big.
It's really good now. No, there was one dormitory, two dormitories, and Hugh Strong, which was an auditorium where the band and music people had it, and you could have assemblies.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was the office building, which also had classrooms in it. And we had a building which had home economics in the base, ground floor, and upstairs was a library of sorts, and also they could have dances up there, which I was always afraid the floor was going to be gone by the next Monday morning. And the campus, one of the things that Ed Morrison did was to plant Chinese elms, which grow real quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a statue on campus, and I guess I checked that and it's still there, but in a different place, the sower. And I could look out the window of my room, which was bigger. This is the second room. And if I could see the sower, well, it was a pretty good day.
Mm-hmm.
But if I couldn't see him, I knew that it was going to be dusty all day. And this was a good guide for what was going on. Everybody wore something over their face on those kind of days.
I was just going to ask you.
And, of course, they covered their head. And even the fellows wore things on their face. The enrollment is basically agriculture and teaching and home economics at that point. And if I got into the classroom, which is on the ground floor, there was a drop light over the desk, and that was all the light that was in the room. And if I could see the students out there, just in that room, wow, that was a bad day, or a good day.
A good day.
Ed Morrison did, as he took over, seal up all the windows. So you could not, if there had been a fire, we just had to knock out and get out.
Mm-hmm.
But that helped tremendously as far as dust. But even then, that dust was just
everywhere. Well, so it could be so bad that in your classroom, between the dust blowing outside and inside and the light, that you couldn't actually see some of the students in your
back row.
Wow.
Of course, the lighting was not good.
That sounds like it.
But, you know, between me and the first row of students, you know, those Chinese elms, the last summer I was there, I guess it was last summer, maybe it was next to the last, all the boys had gone to war. And Mrs. Morrison, president's wife, myself, and one or two other wives, because this was a family out there, we trimmed the Chinese elms, climbing up in them and getting them trimmed down. Also, as a result of that, in the cafeteria, which is in the basement of the main building, we made sand plum jelly. You know, sugar was rationed, but we could get some and have that for the winter. I'm sure we made some other things, but sand plum jelly I particularly remember. And also at that time or before that, by the time that the girls were there and very few fellows, well, we constructed some uniforms which you could buy now but couldn't in those days for the girls. And they went out and rode on the harvesting equipment. But that was home economics doing that.
Hmm.
Also home economics, this was interesting for me, was that they had a living room, which was a part of the setup. And the girls decided they wanted to paper the walls. So we papered the walls. And we reupholstered a divan, which fortunately my sister had just been through doing it with her high school. And so I had some knowledge of what I was doing at that point. But otherwise, I wouldn't have known anything about it. But we had a real good time. And as I say, this was the faculty was limited. Had music, a couple of people in music, English and math, and agriculture, of course. But everybody pulled together. Whether you were a housewife or what you might happen to be. Which, I brought you some.
Yes,
I had one picture that I've loaned to somebody in it. I can't find it. I guess it hadn't come back. This one.
Oh my gosh.
Well, you can see where the roadway was. And this one was even more graphic than that.
Mm. That's amazing.
We went to Guymon probably once a week. To a beauty shop in those days, and had evening dinner, which was big, 10 miles away, real big blowout. And then every once in a while we'd read in the paper. See, we were on the main line of the Rock Island, and the paper came in on the train, thrown off the train, we'd see that there was going to be something really good as far as plays or something like that. And so we'd drive down to Amarillo after school was out on Friday, have dinner, spend the night, get up the next morning, shop, drive home. All this time, weather is just fine. Before you leave Amarillo, they're beginning to tell you that there's going to be a roller. And sure enough, we went home in a dust storm. Came up just that much.
What was that like, driving through that?
Well, you just hope that you knew where that ditch was.
And that you
part of it.
Wind up in it, huh?
And one person on this side of the passenger side would be guiding, and the other one would be guiding over here, and the poor driver is driving.
Hmm.
And you didn't go at any rate of speed because you never knew who you might meet.
Right.
On the same thing. And so, whether you were really on the road.
So it's kind of like driving in a whiteout condition.
Yes,
like in a blizzard.
Same kind of thing.
Hmm.
Same kind of thing.
Now, is that something, was that just a once in a while trip to go to Amarillo?
Yes, once in a while. Because, gasoline you couldn't get, you had to save up.
Right.
And you planned ahead and hoped that the weather was going to be good. And it was that particular time. But I remember that one distinctly because it was so bad. When we got home, the nurse, we had a university nurse. She went into her territory, and all the windows had been shut and sealed. She could not see the pattern on her quilt. It was on her bed.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, that was that bad. And towards the end, I think about the last time I really saw a roller coming in. Well, it was a perfectly good day, much brighter than this. And you could see this bank of clouds over here. I took pictures of that, which I didn't find today, but I have. And it wasn't as bad as some because it just went on through. But a lot of times those storms just lasted and lasted and lasted, which is really bad.
When people would see the rollers coming in, was there any type of preparation that they could make?
Not a thing. Just get out of it, I guess. Some of those early ones took all the paint off of any car that you might have out in the territory. But there's nothing you can do, really, to stop it.
Right.
Not a thing. It's just going to be. And even though it came in as a roller, a lot of times, why, it just stayed about this same deal.
Hmm.
Not as bright as this. It was cloudy. But it was an experience. Oh, one other thing that when we were talking about Chinese elms, Ed Morrison put in a irrigation system on campus, realizing that they had plenty of water, they would pump and just flood the main campus so that actually as people came to the campus, they were amazed at well, the trees and the grass that we had when everything else was like this.
Right. That must have been a pretty amazing sight.
Well, it was encouraging to the people in the community and to that part of Oklahoma because they knew that things could grow then.
Right.
And one other thing. This is a yucca. And that is one of the deal that helped people to be encouraged because most of it was...
Now, these are more pictures from out in the panhandle?
Yes. I don't remember what that one was.
Oh, these are marvelous.
Well, I had real good experience there and good students.
Well, how many classes would you teach in a typical semester?
Well, I had about three, I guess. One early in the morning, the next 7:30, 8:30, and about 10:30. Now, I did not teach clothing. Well, I did indirectly, but I asked, for instance, when we got to the knitting, I asked one of the wives who knits, and incidentally, have you talked to Marion Lowry?
No, I haven't.
Well, she was, Bob was whatever he teaches, something in business, and she was my knitting instructor.
Oh, does she live here in Stillwater?
Yes, she does.
Oh, okay.
Mrs. Robert Lowry, he died just about 10 months ago. And there's, have you talked to a Mrs. Shiflett?
Oh, Ina Lassiter.
Yeah, Ina Lassiter's mother.
No, I know that she's out in
Hooker. she doesn't, she only lived in the panhandle about, of course she still lives out there, I shouldn't say that.
But she moved back in 1940.
Yeah.
Right. Yes, I talked to Mrs. Lassiter earlier this week.
Anna asked me sometime along, she's my beauty operator.
Oh, okay.
If you had talked to me, and I said, no, you hadn't at that point.
Yes, and she told me that you had wonderful photographs. So what types of, I know you said that you would go into Guymon sometimes on the weekend to dinner and to a movie, is that right?
Yeah, we might see a movie. Everybody get their hair done that had to have it, or do any shopping they had to do. And
were there things to
go
buy?
Go to dinner. Beg your pardon?
Were there things to buy at that point?
Oh, yes. Clothes. Hose. And most of the faculty probably came with basic clothes.
Mm-hmm.
Or they came from, oh, like, let's see, Ethel Holter and Helen Muller came from teaching at Fairfax High School.
Mm-hmm.
And the fellows that were in band and music, I'm sure, had their basic things. But, you know, you could go to Guymon and you could buy hair net, or you could buy toothpaste and that sort of thing. Now, there was a grocery store in Goodwill, which we couldn't have lived without if we didn't have it.
Mm-hmm.
And there was also a garage where you could put your cars so they wouldn't get the paint taken off of them if you had it there.
Mm-hmm. Now, and did you have a car during this time?
I didn't have a car in the beginning. My folks brought me to Goodwill. And it was only after I'd been there, 2 years, I guess, three. Mother and dad, well, mother was ill. So I took a bus and went to Lubbock. And on vacation time, I would take the bus.
Mm-hmm.
And as I said, at Christmas time, I took the train. So this limited what you could do, of course. And for instance, one time I remember I was home and we had I had a dental appointment. Okay, I'm sure there were dentists in Guymon, but I was home with a dentist I'd had before. And I didn't come home, and I didn't come home. Mother began to get worried about what happened to me. And I said, well, he said I need this to be done, and he'd better do it right then, because otherwise I would be in Goodwill again, and he wouldn't be able to take care of it.
Mm-hmm.
So business was not that rushing anywhere out there.
What other types of things would you do for fun?
We had a monthly dinner. Faculty came in. And there was a rotation. The men took care of it 1 month, and the women took care of it the other month.
Mm-hmm. And that was the whole thing, setting up for it, making the food.
And we ate in the home economics living room.
Mm-hmm.
And there was bridge, and there was dominoes, and we always had one young man who we told him the meal was going to be at 6 o'clock, so he'd be sure and be there by 6:30 when it really began. And, you know, I remember one turkey dinner we were having. And the men were responsible for it, but of course it was being cooked in home economics. So indirectly I had to know something about it. And they had ordered this turkey from Amarillo coming in. It was frozen, solid. Besides which, it was in New York, which you probably wouldn't know, which meant the gizzards and the livers and everything else were inside still.
Oh, okay.
It had been separated, but so you had to get it thawed to
pull that stuff out.
Yeah, you know, to get that out to make gravy and dressing and everything, which was really a deal because it didn't get there till late Friday evening. And it was going to be on Saturday. And, of course, sometimes they would, we would hire one of the, or two of the girls to do the main cooking and preparation and so forth, so that we didn't do all of it. But we were a family.
Mm-hmm.
We were a family.
Were there any signs to you out there that things were starting to get better, that the, you know, Dust Bowl period was ending?
Yes, there were fewer.
Fewer rollers that came in.
Yes. You know, right now, if they don't get some rain out there, they're going to have some more of them.
Yeah, it's I was out there last week. It's really dry.
Mm-hmm. Very dry. I don't know, do they still water the campus?
I don't know.
Flooded?
I don't know. I was not in Goodwell, but I was out in that direction.
In that direction, mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I said this morning that possibly they'd have some rain out there. But I've been watching it, and they could be having another Dust Bowl if they don't get some rain.
Yeah. What happened when you left Goodwell? Was that in 1942 that you left there?
Let's see. I went in, what? 42? I went to College West. What did I do? I went back to University Hospital as an assistant dietitian at that point, and I stayed there about a year or a little more. And Dr. Purdy from OSU A&M was down on a field trip, and she hired me to come to her for an interview. I rode the bus from Oklahoma City up here, hotter than Hades. And it was full of young men, ROTCs.
Mm-hmm.
And we stopped out at the 9 Mile corner down there. Have to wait for the bus. And finally, when it came, well, there was just room for anybody to just stand up, practically. So I stood up all the way from 9 Mile corner to Stillwater.
Now, 9 Mile corner, is that where the intersection of 33 and 177 are?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So you, I guess your interview here was successful then?
Yes.
And did you just, you have been in Stillwater ever since then?
Basically.
So since 1944?
Yeah.
Wow. That's a long time to live in one place, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. But this is a good
and
place.
Stillwater is, I wish it had quit growing. I don't, it was a nice little town. I can't believe all this. Have you looked at the campus lately? My gosh. And they're talking about tearing down whichever one of them it is. I've forgotten. Residence halls.
Oh, yes.
It's amazing.
It is.
And Stout Hall has not been being used. I don't know what they're doing with it. But those... Murray... I remember distinctly one day when he was here.
Governor Murray?
Yeah.
Was this
Alfalfa? Well, I remember when he was out of Goodwill, too.
Was this Alfalfa Bill?
Yeah.
Okay.
When he was out at Goodwill, we had to be sure and have onion sandwiches.
Onion sandwiches?
Yeah, I just loved onion sandwiches.
So this was bread with onions in between them. That's it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
As far as I know. Yeah, is right.
I can't imagine such a thing.
Well,
I don't think I'd want to be around someone after they'd had that kind of meal.
It was quite a deal for him to be there, of course.
I bet.
And same thing when Dr. Willem was there. I remember distinctly the day that he was there. I was having the girls prepare chicken, and some of them had never, and I can't believe this, but they had chicken that they weren't using it for eating. They were producing eggs with, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the things we had to do was to kill the chicken. And one of the gals said, well, there's nothing to that. And she just took hold of that chicken, like that.
Strung its neck.
Strung its neck. And then the other ones did not have the strength or the whatever to do that, so they wanted to chop it.
Mm.
Well, that was fine, except the hatchet they had. It was a hatchet. It wasn't a war axe. Was not very sharp.
Oh.
So we had chicken flopping around all around. There's nothing like learning, you know, for... Well, they learned.
I bet that's the kind of scene that would be hard to forget, even after all these years, huh?
That chicken.
So when you came to Oklahoma A&M, what was your... Were you hired to teach dietetics within the home ec department?
Not specifically. I was taught to... take the freshman foods classes. And that's what I did, basically, was freshman foods. I did have some diet, I don't know what it was called. Wouldn't have been diet and health, but something similar to that. And because the nurse, we had a nurse who was qualified to teach health and take care of all the shots and everything else that people had to have.
Mm-hmm.
And but mine was basically foods and basic training of... I had one class that was called housewifery, I guess it was. Which they learned how to write a check. Now that sounds silly, but there were a lot of those girls that they did not have bank accounts. Their parents didn't have bank accounts or hadn't had bank accounts that where they could put money and then draw it out. So they had to learn how to write a check.
Mm-hmm.
And that really flabbergasted me because I thought, well, now they're awful retarded. And then I began thinking about why they had it in their dad's pocket.
Mm-hmm.
And they had not had it where they could control it themselves. These were housewives. There were women in that class that summertime that were older than me, and they were learning how to fix their electric iron and change the washer and the lavatory and do things like that, which
they had just never learned before.
Yeah, and their husband didn't know it either because he was working on farm equipment. He wasn't working on stuff around the house and what to do when the roller window shade wouldn't work, and it was real interesting.
Hmm.
How to read the meter for the electricity.
Mm-hmm. Just sort of like basic survival skills.
Yeah, well, it's called housewifery.
Huh. Nowadays, that would be really politically incorrect, wouldn't it, to have a class of that type?
Yeah. You'd have to have a license to do all that. But after all, they were out there in the boondocks, so to speak. If you got somebody in, they'd have to come from Guymon, which is 10 miles, or Amarillo, which is much further. It's just like the paper. The paper was thrown off of the Rock Island once a day. And you were lucky if it got there.
Hmm.
And you could keep up with radio, of course. I remember very distinctly the day that war was declared in when Pearl Harbor was bombed.
What was the reaction in Goodwill when that happened?
Everybody's for it. I mean, of course, that meant that the young men all went to the war. Just about everybody was there. And the men that were on the campus faculty are absolutely essential, of course, were granted. Or if they had, I forget how many people to support.
Mm-hmm.
But we had been over to the cafeteria for lunch. We came in to the dormitory. I turned on the radio because I was going to listen to the symphony orchestra from New York. And they interrupted it right bang to say that Pearl Harbor had been bombed.
Mm. Must have been a pretty amazing day.
Yes. Well, you got more questions than I'm just raving on. Yeah.
Oh, no. You're sharing lots of really good information with me. I know that the town of Goodwill itself is still pretty small, and it was smaller at the time you were out there. And I don't know how much contact you had with people in the town, but I know that public assistance programs were pretty widespread
mm-hmm.
during those days. What types of public assistance was available out there for people, do you know?
I don't know. I'm sure that there was, for farmers, there was something. Had to be. There was enough, well, I told you there was a grocery.
Right.
And a service station with a garage, big garage. Post office. And I guess there was a beer joint, probably.
Mm-hmm.
Which I never got into. I'm sure there was something where, for Saturday nights.
Mm-hmm.
Two churches, Baptist and the Methodist. And I don't know if there was anything for the Catholics or not. It was real interesting for students who came from downstate, which could be Clinton or the registrar came from Clinton, I think. I don't know. It's out on 35 anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And he would recruit some fellows from down his home part of the state to come out. We also had students who came from, as they did here in Stillwater, from eastern states, New York, Connecticut, and they had, some of them had quite trouble adjusting.
Oh, I bet.
To our family style, really, where they were like this, you know, for back in the East, you just beat your way around. Well, we didn't do that out there. We helped each other if there was something that had to be done and so forth. The weather is going to change, I'm telling you right now. We haven't had any birds for about 3 weeks. And I haven't put a place to feed, but we have birds on the feeder today. That means that they're coming in out of the fields.
Does that mean it's going to get cold?
Yeah, it's going to get cold. Hmm. Or, thank goodness. I don't like this November weather that isn't natural.
Yeah. I know, it feels like it, you know, could be September still.
Yes.
Do you feel that you were changed in any way by seeing or living through the Dust Bowl era?
That I was what?
That you were changed in any way.
Well, I think I was changed in just what I was saying, that we all united to help each other. And that housewifery class, I know that changed me because I didn't had no concept of anybody. Most, you know, I lived in a scholarly family, and mother and dad had seen that we did this and
mm-hmm.
how to do it and to take care of money and put money in the bank and how to get it out. And this was really interesting.
So it was kind of an introduction to how the other
half lives. Yeah, really was. And those gals, well, like one time when I'd been there several years, well, we took a bus trip to downstate to Oklahoma City, but on doing that we went by Stillwater, see Home Economics here, and for me to encourage some girls to come to school here, and they did. And also I had girls on that trip that had never been on an elevator.
Hmm.
And I had to go out and get them off of the elevator because they were just pulling the button and riding up and down. And,
it was a novelty, huh?
Yeah, it was different.
Now, when did you stay at OSU until you retired?
Yes.
And when was that?
I don't know when I retired, for heaven's sakes. I retired at 65, whatever that is.
Okay.
And I'm going to be 90 in June, so you can figure that out.
So you've been retired for a while.
Yeah, since about 75, I think it is.
Okay.
I think it was 75 I retired.
So is there anything that I haven't asked you about that you would like to tell me about from that time? Did I pretty much cover all the bases
I think we've covered the bases.
Okay.
Probably. Great. Some that we shouldn't have covered,
I don't know. It was. You've had an interesting life.